Good morning and welcome to the TCS Plus show. I'm James Erasmus and I'm thrilled to be in studio again today to talk quite specifically about commercial Wi-Fi. And when reviewing Maslow's hierarchy of needs, there are a couple of things that popped out and came to mind. You know, the importance of food and water and, of course, Wi-Fi. Now, in the commercial space of Wi-Fi, one of the first things we find ourselves doing is walking into a building and looking for the food, the water, and the Wi-Fi. And I'm thrilled to introduce and have a guest in studio today, Craig Blichnot. Craig is the product manager for Vox, quite specifically Vox Wi-Fi. And we really look forward to hearing more about commercial Wi-Fi, what it does, why it does what it does, and then, quite importantly, and for our listeners to understand, the point of today's conversation is to get into the point of really assessing the critical need for that Wi-Fi and the audit process you might want to consider in case through the Wi-Fi you currently have in situ isn't doing what you expect it to be doing. So Craig, thanks very much for being in studio today, and we really look forward to this conversation.
Thanks, James, and thanks for having me on in studio.
Yeah, always a pleasure. We look forward to many of these conversations. Let's just jump straight into the why a corporate or a company or a building or a business might have reticulated commercial Wi-Fi.
Yeah, well, very interesting topic. And, you know, Wi-Fi has probably been around for the last, you know, 25 to 30 years, but it's evolved quite exponentially. You know, if you think that back in 93 it started and our requirements for Wi-Fi were a lot less at that stage in terms of, you know, you had one room where you knew the internet worked and the Wi-Fi worked in that room and you didn't have a need for it to work anywhere else. And now you've got a lot more applications, a lot more computer programs that, you know, have a much higher throughput requirement in order to, you know, enhance the experience of a user. So from a company perspective, we're definitely talking increased productivity. If you've got a better Wi-Fi environment, you know, people are starting to expect Wi-Fi in every environment that they move into. And that has become something that customers need to or corporate customers that are implementing Wi-Fi solutions need to really focus on ensuring that that solution is going to work properly and will increase productivity. You know, you don't want to spend 5 or 10 minutes trying to connect, you know, or explaining to people that your network's down, unfortunately, at the moment. You know, I think those days are in the past for us.
And spelling out the guest Wi-Fi with all the acronyms and
complicated
variations.
Passwords. Yeah, exactly.
Craig, I think it's also really important to see how, you know, there's a huge change in the shift of what you referred to, the usage of Wi-Fi, but also the quality of it. And I think corporates and the people that work within buildings that might, you know, expect Wi-Fi, just food security, water, is that they're also expected to transition from one office, one space seamlessly to the next without having to, you know, search for or connect to a different network. And how do you overcome that challenge in a vast, you know, commercial space of thousands of square meters?
Yeah, again, a great question. And I obviously make relation or comparisons to home Wi-Fi versus corporate Wi-Fi. You know, if you in the past were at home and you used to have, you know, the lounge Wi-Fi or the upstairs Wi-Fi, you know, then you go into a big corporate organization and you're walking across a multi-square meter building and it's one Wi-Fi name throughout. So, you know, within the technical space of that, that's effectively managed by the power settings of the access points, and creating a seamless handover is key. And it's all about, you know, in the past, it was the devices that were controlling when they lost connectivity from one AP and started looking for another. But now it's actually managed by the enterprise access point, actually has the intelligence to say, this device is closer to me than it is to the previous Wi-Fi access point, and it forces the handover as seamlessly as possible.
Okay, that's fascinating.
So it's all configuration and setups. Okay. That create that.
And when you get more into that setup, but also how to check the efficacy of how it's being set up in a minute.
Yes.
I think that it's also critical to understand some of the considerations of why you might put Wi-Fi into a commercial space to begin with.
Yes.
One answer is naturally your employees are so used to and need access to the internet. There's a prolific use of cloud computing these days, all of which requires connectivity. But so too are there scenarios where there are guests coming into that same environment. And you might consider why you have Wi-Fi as a question.
Absolutely, and it's a great question. And very often we refer to it as offloading. So you walk out of your car or parking lot into the corporate building, and you've got your mobile data. And for some people, that could be adequate. But then you go into a large building, and it's possible that the cellular network isn't providing great coverage within that building.
Yes.
So Wi-Fi is something that is within your corporate office control. So you have the ability to ensure that that experience is going to be excellent for your customers and your guests by placing APs in, you know, very suitable positions. You have the ability to analyze the building infrastructure. So if Wi-Fi doesn't penetrate a particular wall or, you know, metal or glass environment adequately, then you can place another AP in a more suitable environment. With a cellular network, you know, it's best effort, and you're reliant on, you know, who created and where the tower is, and not everybody's on the same cellular network. There's a very good chance that not everyone will have a good experience. So besides a cost factor benefit, because we all know that fixed internet access has a little bit of a more uncapped product offering. So yes, that's the reason I would say that it's good for people to offload onto the Wi-Fi. Can enhance your mobile telephone calls, in fact, just by enabling your Wi-Fi and having good coverage.
I mean, for me, I feel more welcome when I walk into a building. I know that I've got access to the Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
I almost feel like it's an expectation.
And if I can add to that, there's certain benefits. I mean, we often, you know, talk to our customers around guest Wi-Fi solutions, but, you know, where it's become required for the user to have Wi-Fi, there's also a benefit for the corporate entity to offer it. You know, we can introduce landing pages or captive portals, so we can effectively separate the guest Wi-Fi network from the primary admin network, which is a lot better for security as well.
Can we talk a bit more about that? And just in preparation for this call, I had a couple of very interesting conversations with a shopping mall owner.
Yes.
And a shopping mall is a great example I'd love to get your opinion on. And also someone who markets in a similar environment. And my question to them was, what is the purpose? You know, what goal are you trying to achieve by providing a guest network? Could you unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, I would say the benefits to them are, you know, once they've got somebody in their environment, they want somebody to be comfortable and stay in their environment. You know, if somebody is lacking connectivity, they could be a little bit on edge. They could miss an email. They could miss a call, you know, if it's a data-related call. So I think that's the first step, is that they're going to be more comfortable in their environment. And if it works easily, you know, they can be productive within that shopping environment. So they are able to fulfill their personal shopping requirement, but not missing out on any work-related factors that they may need. But at the same time, I think just the benefits are two-way. You know, for the user to be able to offload the Wi-Fi, as we've chatted about, and also for the organization supplying the Wi-Fi to do a little bit of marketing and brand awareness.
Absolutely. So there is actually a revenue-generating opportunity behind the offering of a free guest Wi-Fi.
And then certain of our products then allow us to retain some of the customer or end user's data. So you could have a little bit of a survey or questionnaire that says, please fill in your name, telephone number, email address, and then they can use that for marketing purposes after the customer's left. You know, some of the intelligent equipment refers to dwell time. Yeah. So you'll know how long customers spend in a certain section of the mall or of the shop. And you start learning the behavior of your customers. And also you can compare it to other analytical data you may be using, which is how many feet have you got inside your mall?
Of course.
Which I know there are people counters and whatever, but a lot of that is working in partnership with Wi-Fi at the moment.
Okay. That's interesting to know. Thank you. Yeah. And I think we spend the entire day talking about the commercial use of Wi-Fi and how you could monetize it, because I think absolutely. And sure, there's a risk associated with putting that landing page between access to the Wi-Fi and the user, and people are sometimes hesitant and reticent to fill in their details in order to get access to Wi-Fi in a public space, especially. And there's some risk associated with that, which I'd like you to touch on. But before we jump into that, I also wanted to ask a little bit more about the actual installation of Wi-Fi in a commercial space. We've talked about office blocks. We talk about shopping malls, maybe airports, for instance. My guess is there's some reticulation of wiring that needs to be throughout. But surely when you've got different tenants, they've all got different internet service providers and different objectives. How do you manage that at Vox?
Yeah, so within a shopping mall environment, you know, maybe the mall provides a certain Wi-Fi and the tenants have their own Wi-Fi. But, you know, those would be separated. And obviously from a configuration point of view, you separate it from the main mall's management. But I think, what your question is leading to is how do you begin the process in terms of analyzing their Wi-Fi requirements?
Yeah.
And we would start off by really having an in-depth conversation and engagement with the customer, you know, to understand their requirements, where they have, more of a priority in terms of where they want better Wi-Fi. And then we basically start off with a floor plan request. So we get the floor plan from the customer, and we have specialized software that allows us to upload that floor plan. And then based on the user requirements that have been, gathered from the discussion, we can then use that to determine the quality of enterprise access point that we would recommend in either certain environments or to certain customers. And then with the floor plan, we can then simulate how the Wi-Fi will actually travel within that building based on, is it double brick? Is it metal doors? You know, is it glass? Because glass also impacts Wi-Fi quite a bit. And then we can really take the guesswork out of Wi-Fi and ensure that the experience in the right places is covered.
Okay, fascinating. And I'm sure you also have busy periods and quieter periods, and you can reallocate bandwidth and
absolutely. So, I mean, that touches on another very big point for Wi-Fi, where in the past, you know, people would walk around doing speed tests, and it was always about what speed you were getting in what certain area. And we just find that conversation is changing to more of a capacity.
Okay.
So we try to say to people, it's not about speed anymore, because, you know, if you go up to 1 gigabit per second and beyond, you know, you can't always make use of the faster speed. You're not going to download huge 8K files to your small, mobile phone. But at the same time, capacity, you know, you could have a boardroom that potentially has 100 or 200 people for a limited period of time. And then they, you know, for a once a week meeting. So you've got access points that are either very quiet for long periods of time, and then all of a sudden large capacity. So all of that would be, thought about in the planning and design stage.
Okay. And I mean, again, another topic I'd love to spend more time on. I have Wi-Fi in my buildings. I'm very comfortable with how it works, but it's been there for years.
Yes.
What do I do about assessing that? And we talked in our prep call for this conversation about doing an audit on my Wi-Fi. Talk us through that. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, the first thing to consider is that with legacy old equipment, I think security becomes a risk, you know, in terms of the, you know, WPA sort of standards of security. So you'll see from Wi-Fi 4 to Wi-Fi 5, now to Wi-Fi 6 and 7, that is one standard that has really been, evolved to a safer standard. Whereas on the WPA version, they know that there are, risks attached to having devices that only support that type of standard. But then at the same time, it's necessary, I suppose, with all technology to do updates. So the benefit, again, as we could chat about in the future, of managed Wi-Fi solutions, ensuring you do software updates, same as you do on your phone and your computers, it increases the lifespan of those devices.
So an access point that's attached to a ceiling, it needs to actually be updated.
Yes, if nobody's managing that, then it becomes at risk. You know, the manufacturers could actually find flaws in certain software components of it. And if it doesn't get that patch or security update, then it's vulnerable.
And might you, when you install the system, I assume that there's an auto update that's perhaps been set.
But it's might an option,
Okay, but there might also be a firmware update. What hasn't been managed, as you imply.
It's been left on its own for years. So I suppose it'll be people running old, XP computers. They could still work, but you don't know the back-end vulnerabilities that could appear.
And as a business owner, can I not do that myself just by running a speed test? And you corrected me before I go into that. So speed is not necessarily the only measure. What are some other ways I could test it myself? Or is that a service I would call Vox and say, please come and do an audit on my Wi-Fi?
Absolutely. So we definitely offer that service. You know, not everybody's looking for brand new Wi-Fi in a new building from scratch. So very often we find we're taking over previous companies' Wi-Fis. And what could have happened is maybe at the time, you know, yes, you wanted Wi-Fi, but it wasn't as much of a focus point as it is now. So a lot of places, you know, especially schools, you know, you try to do it at a little bit of a more cost-effective way. And now 5 years later, you realize this has got to be done properly. Okay. So you're starting investing in better enterprise-level equipment and better, you know, organizations to manage and plan the design, a little bit better.
Knowing your audience, you said, you know, in terms of capacity planning, I think is very useful. I was recently at my children's school, and they have, you know, Wi-Fi throughout the school because they spend so much time, you know, making use of it for learning purposes and other. But I needed to use the Wi-Fi, and once I was connected to the guest network, I felt so welcome to be able to go and, you know, open my laptop, quickly reply to some critical mails while the gala was happening.
Yes,
and come back to the event without actually being too concerned about, you know, the security of risk of me being on an open network, trying to find the Wi-Fi password. It just made me as a parent of the school feel so much more welcome. So I'm Agreed. Also a member of the audience. Mm. And is that part of the survey or the audit that you at Vox talk about?
Yeah, so very much understanding the guest Wi-Fi requirements, making it an easy onboard process, you know, ensuring that the landing page works and it's almost refreshed as regularly as possible, so that it's current. And I think when a user like yourself at that school environment logs on and it appears that it's working correctly and it's somebody's in control of it, then I think you also get that security reassurance that it's not going to be vulnerable, you know, because it's up to date, it's not you know, older equipment that has some flaws or potential vulnerabilities. But absolutely, so it's benefits of Wi-Fi. So again, when we talk about guest Wi-Fi and management and monetization of Wi-Fi, it's really a case of people have to have the Wi-Fi available, but previously they don't get anything in return. Now they're getting, you know, a little bit of loyalty. I suppose in that environment, you were able to stay a little bit longer. You know, you didn't have to rush off to a meeting or to another place that had quality environment. Mm. Perhaps you had a voice call that needed, some quality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there are a lot of benefits to having good Wi-Fi. So we see a lot of customers starting to invest in that a little bit more, especially schools, campuses, focusing on teachers, being able to have access to content in their classrooms. Yeah. To give you an example of what I was saying previously you would have one access point shared maybe amongst two or three classrooms. And now I think they're starting to realize that it's better to designate, you know, access points in certain classrooms. You've got sufficient, pupils and teachers that will require that access point. So a better experience for them.
And multiple devices in one room. All trying to connect.
Another complexity of Wi-Fi, you know, we all just expect it to work and know that in the back end, the engineers are, you know, clever enough to make it all work. But think of all the different devices, you know, from older Android to, older Apple and newer devices and all just really working the same way on the network. So there's a lot of back end technology that the equipment manufacturers
need to support.
And customize in order to make that happen, as well as our own engineers in terms of software configurations once again.
There's clearly a lot going on in the background. Mm. And, you know, further to the teaching example, you've also got, you know, smart TVs and all these other devices that are constantly connected.
Yes. Okay. So especially then if you look at homes once again, from smart TVs to IoT devices. So you're going to have a lot of IoT devices that, again, lead to that capacity issue that we spoke about. Because it's not just your phones and your kids' phones and your wife's phones. Now it's all those little smart switches, smart light bulbs,
of course,
smart everything.
And going back to the shopping mall example, what about the points of sale? Surely a number of those, the handheld devices are connected to the Wi-Fi, not 3G.
Absolutely, which in the past, a lot of them were connecting on GSM because that was the most secure. I think now that we've been able to evolve and make Wi-Fi confidently more secure, the banks have accepted that. So there are point-of-sale devices that work on Wi-Fi. And again, we can separate the Wi-Fi to target and only allow authentication for those devices. So you could have maybe multiple guest SSIDs or Wi-Fi, one for the guests and one that's actually designated for point-of-sale devices.
And what are we doing about putting the power back into the end user to be able to report, for instance, a risk that they've identified? So maybe a scenario would be, and we always warn, don't do your internet banking in a public space.
Yes.
For good reason. But how do we enable the end user to report a concern, suggest that building they're in improves a service that they're currently offering but isn't providing what's expected? And is there some sort of user behavior you expect from the user as opposed to the business owner?
Yeah, it would be great because, when customers do make use of a guest Wi-Fi network, there is a very specific terms and conditions that they have to accept. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of demands or requirements from an end user perspective, but as you say, not too much going backwards. Mm. But there would be, companies, brands, and if the Wi-Fi is not working, we'd hope that it gets reported. Mm. But we're encouraging our customers to test the Wi-Fi network more frequently themselves to avoid, long periods of time where it hasn't been working and the customers are actually guests or shoppers that don't have a means to report it to the center management. Mm. So they must just use it more frequently themselves as well as the shop owners, et cetera.
Okay.
But that would be more of a brand and product awareness there.
A good opportunity to reward your end user as well.
Yeah.
Greg, one last question. Mm. I think we've covered all the topic around, the Wi-Fi enablement in these different spaces, the commercial use of Wi-Fi. And we've talked about the importance of checking and doing this audit and an assessment on the Wi-Fi in a scenario. How do you cost that? And how do our listeners consider saying, Craig or Vox, what do I do about my Wi-Fi? And can you come and look at this? What is the base cost here we're talking about?
Again, great question. And it's actually a new product we're rolling out. Mostly for our existing customers where we have done a floor plan, done a heat map on RF design and plan. And we have basically put in our network as we have planned and designed it. But then there's a case of going to do a post-design check. So we can offer that post-design check to our new customers. And basically we can once again upload the floor plan, walk around with, again, sophisticated equipment that can tell us the actual signal strength in certain areas. So we would then plan a route that we walk in partnership with the customer and see this is the signal you are getting there. And then if it's inadequate to what their usage requirements would be, look at maybe moving access points or upgrading their access points. But, in answer to your question there, what is the cost there? I think the benefits in terms of the increased productivity and increased loyalty, as we've spoken about, far would outweigh a cost like that. So from a design audit perspective, I would say that that's going to cost less than a mid-tier to an entry-level access point.
Okay.
So it's really going to be a cost-effective exercise and recommended.
It sounds very reasonable. And Craig, thank you. I really appreciate your time and input into this conversation because I know our listeners are fascinated to know about what you've talked about, but also to be able to supply what's expected. And what is expected is also needs to go back in line with what they intended to do in the first place. So writing out a strategy and a logic behind the importance of and the way in which your commercial Wi-Fi is going to be used is as important as regularly checking to make sure that it works and cross-referencing to make sure that your strategy is actually what it's planned to do.
Absolutely. And on that point, we are really focused on offering a managed Wi-Fi solution. And I think that's the direction the business is going. Long are the days where you used to have to call a technician out or an engineer out and wait 2 or 3 days for them to be scheduled to do a call out when you've got something could be a minor issue on your network. Now it can all be investigated by high level and highly certified engineers in a in an office environment, reviewing your actual network's performance and capacity there. So manage Wi-Fi, and then, you know, not that we've touched on it too much, but AI is starting to play a good role in access points having more intelligence to just really increase the performance of the network, for sure.
Craig, thank you very, very much. From me, James Erasmus of the TCS Plus, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Thank you very, very much. Please feel free to follow us on our website, but also on YouTube, and catch more from Craig and Vox here at Tech Central. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Craig. Appreciate your time.
Really good chat. Thanks a lot. Thank you.